Amen. Well, it is great to be back this evening. I had to kind of smirk a little bit as we were singing that song. The first verse says, Jesus doeth all things well. We say amen to that, right? Until something well doesn't go right, right? Then do we say Jesus doeth all things well? I hope we do, right? I hope we say, even when things don't go well, when we think they're supposed to go well, that we would still say, Jesus doeth all things well. And you say, why did you have to smirk about that? Well, tonight, we were supposed to be in the book of Matthew. And tonight, we're going to be looking, starting the Sermon on the Mount and looking at the Beatitudes. And I was super excited about it. I was going through it. And man, I had all kinds of notes and everything. And no lie, at 6:31, that's like 29 minutes before church starts, my computer freezes up. So I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I restart it. And guess what? It's gone. Not my computer. All my notes are gone. Everything gone. So even though the those of you that are watching live stream tonight, it says, I think there we're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. We are not going to be looking at the Beatitudes tonight. You say, well, why don't you just do it? I thought about it, but there's too much in it that I want to bring out that I had in my notes that I cannot remember it all, right? And so instead of doing the injustice of just kind of going through it and just kind of skimming through it and be like, well, okay, we're still going to stay in Matthew. We're not going to be in Matthew tonight. So I apologize for that. I literally was in my office begging God, please let it come back. Please let it come back. Jesus doeth all things well. Now you know why I was smirking about that, right? Yeah, Jesus, all right, Lord, I really would love for you to bring this back. He didn't. Okay, so we're going to go in the book of Philippians. What do you do 29 minutes before church is getting ready to start and you just lost your message? What do you do, right? Well, praise the Lord. I tell our young people, I said, you should always be ready. Oh, if God's called you to preach, you need to always be ready. So you should always have messages prepared. And so luckily, we'll be looking at something else this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I hope it'll be an encouragement. It wasn't where we were supposed to be tonight, but Jesus doeth all things well. Amen. So we're in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And of course, I know that we also have the Master Club Awards tonight as well. So we'll try to finish a little bit early. And so maybe that's why, maybe the Lord knew I wasn't going to be able to get all through it all with the Master Club Awards. And he's like, no, you're just going to wait another week. I don't know. But Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. How appropriate is that tonight? Hey, you got to laugh about it, right? You got to laugh about it. And do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just want to look at this passage tonight and just kind of bring out just a few things about it. And I think Philippians is just a great book. It's just a, It's a short book. It's only four chapters, but there's a lot of depth in the book of Philippians. And I think you could probably say this about all the books that Paul writes, but I think in this particular passage, we kind of get a look into Paul's heart and what Paul's desire was, right? Paul had a desire to, I think we could say very clearly, just to seek after God with his whole heart. I mean, he had a desire to follow after God. And of course, he gives some warning in the beginning of chapter 3 of, you know, these false teachers and things, kind of similar to what we looked at Sunday morning. And then he kind of explains, you know, he kind of shows who he was before he came to know Christ in verses 4, 5, and 6. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. So he's kind of giving what we would say a resume, right? Paul's kind of giving his resume of what people, I would say, in his day were most concerned about. What were people in Paul's day looking for? They were looking for success, just as people do today. They were looking for position, just as people do today, right? And Paul is saying, look, I had everything that in the world's eyes, in the world's view, you could desire. Paul said, I had it, right? He talks about kind of his ancestry, about how he was following the law as far as the circumcision on the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? He talks about kind of his position, who he was. He talks about being a Pharisee and the position that he had among the people religiously, but also even politically. He talks about his religious zeal in verse number 6, persecuting the church. I mean, he was so zealous for Judaism that he was even going out persecuting those who were claiming to be Christians, those who were claiming to follow this man, Jesus of Nazareth, right? And so he says, I even persecuted the church, okay? So before Paul was saved, we would say Paul was, I mean, he kind of had it made, right? I mean, he had reached what most people could only desire. Even his education and things was one that only could be dreamed of. Being educated at the feet of Gamaliel, who was at that point like the most well-educated man, right? So Paul is wanting people to know, he's showing them these things, but he's bringing this about because of what he says in verse number 7. Because at one point in Paul's life, he was seeking all of these things, right? He was seeking all the stuff that the world has to offer. That's what Paul was seeking after. But in verse number 7, he says, what things were gained to me, and we could say what things were gained to the world, because that's what the world was seeking after. But watch what he says. Those I counted loss for Christ. From the day that Paul got saved, and you can go back even in Acts chapter 9, and you can see when on the road to Damascus, when Paul comes to know the Lord, and he ends up going into Damascus. Of course, he can't see. He goes into Damascus, and God tells Ananias to go and basically kind of lay hands on Paul, and he's going to receive his sight, and then he gets baptized. And right after his conversion here in Damascus and on the road to Damascus, what does Paul begin doing? He begins going out and telling people about Jesus, right? He didn't wait to, you know, to be told, you know, he didn't wait to go to school. He didn't wait for somebody to come alongside. And he just started doing something for God, right? And again, there is a commitment to Christ that we find here. And this is what he says in verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul had a strong commitment to Christ. And all of those things that he says were important to him, before, now he says those things didn't mean anything to him. They didn't mean anything, right? Because of who he was in Christ now. And you think as Christians, so many times, and maybe a person gets saved, maybe they put their faith and trust in Christ, and God's desire is that they would now start following him. God's desire is that they would be committed to him. But yet many times what happens is we just try to keep following the same life that we had before we met Christ. The things that are past that Paul talks about, the things that were important to us before we came to know Christ, are those things still the most important things in our life after we come to know Christ? They shouldn't be, right? And that's what Paul is showing us here, right? The things that were so important to the world, to society in his day, he said, I attained those things, but once I met Christ, those things no longer mattered. Those things weren't important anymore, right? And I'm afraid so many times as Christians, especially, we are blessed to live in America. There's no doubt about it. We are beyond blessed. I mean, we have so much that most countries in the world, most people in the world cannot even fathom, okay? I mean, there are literally countries where, I mean, they, and I know this is a wrong view, but they think Americans basically just have bags of money sitting around their house. You say, well, they don't know anything. Well, go look at your house. May not be bags of money, right? But it's way more than what they have, right? I mean, you have a lot. We have a lot, okay? And so as we think about these things, what's unfortunate is instead of being committed to Christ, which is what God desires once we come to know Christ as our Savior, we still try to, we say, well, yes, I love Christ, but I don't want to give up those things that were important to me before. Okay? Now, please understand, I'm not saying that somebody has to go and quit their job and anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But are the things that were important to you before you got saved, are those the same things that are still important to you after you got saved? Or did God change those things so that now the things of God are more important? And this is what Paul is saying here. He says, those things that were gained to me before I met Christ, and he just listed all these things. He says, yet those I counted loss for Christ. Now, again, we kind of talked a little bit about it on Sunday. There's a lot of religions that teach, you know, this prosperity gospel. You know, God wants everybody healthy, wealthy, and wise, and all that kind of stuff. Which I don't agree with. Doesn't mean that God can't bless somebody that they become rich, but just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not gonna have health problems. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not gonna have financial problems, okay? Those things do happen to Christians as well, okay? But as a Christian, our desire ought to be committed to Christ and the things that he wants, not the things of the world. And this is why he says, notice in verse number 8, he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So notice even Paul's attitude toward all of the loss, right? He talks about all this loss. He lost it all. He's put it all behind him. Does it sound like he's like wishing that he hadn't done it? Does he sound like he's saying, oh man, I had so much and now I'm having to suffer for Christ? And by the way, Paul suffered. Paul suffered way more than probably any of us will ever suffer in our lifetime. So is Paul saying, man, I just, you know, I'm having to suffer. And boy, I remember when I was a Pharisee, I didn't have to suffer. I mean, I was pretty prestigious back then. When I was a Pharisee, man, everybody looked up to me. When I was a Pharisee, I had command of other people and they let me go to other places. Boy, when I was back then, it doesn't sound like he's wishing he was back there. And this is what he says. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He said, look, I know I've suffered. I've suffered and I've lost. But what does he say? And do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul says all of those things that seem to be so important, he says, it's dung. That, he said, that's how I'm looking at those things now, right? Not trying to be crude, but do we look at those things that were so important to us before, do we look at them as dung? Or are we still thinking that those are the most important things in our life? You see, we have to have the right perspective in what God desires for us as Christians, okay? And so Paul's desire was not just to be committed to Christ, but he wanted to conform himself to Christ. In fact, in the book of Romans, the Bible talks about how we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're to allow God to change us. Right? That's what the word conform means. It means to change something, right? And so God says we are to be conformed, but what? To the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Do we really want God to change us? Now, I didn't say that we want God to save us. We want God to save us, right? But do we really want God to change us? Or are we just content with what we were before? Are we just content going on with life the way it was before? Again, not to be crude, but are we content with the dung? I mean, Paul said, all of that was so important to me, he said, that I consider it as dung now. When you compare those things to Christ, those things can't measure up at all. There's not one thing, can I say, there's not one thing that you had before you came to know Christ that can measure up even remotely close to Jesus Christ himself. Not one thing. But yet, so many times it seems like those are still the things we're chasing after. We're still chasing after those things instead of wanting God to change us to be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Again, the word conform means to be changed, to become like something. There's no doubt that Paul wanted to become, now listen to what I'm saying. Paul didn't want to become Jesus, he wanted to become like Jesus. Paul had a desire to become like Jesus. We say we're Christians, right? And the word Christian means, anybody know what the word Christian means? It means to be like Christ, right? It means like a little Christ, okay, to be like Christ. But do we really want to be like Christ? If we do want to be like Christ, then we have to allow God to change us, right? Because once we got saved, we didn't just reach this level of super spirituality and now we're all just like Jesus Christ once we got saved. Guess what? We all still struggle. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna be honest. When I realized I lost my message tonight, I was not praising God. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I was not saying, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. You know, I was nervous, upset. It's 29 minutes before I'm supposed to preach. Lord, why would you let this happen? I'm calling Shane. What do I do? He couldn't help me. Are we so consumed with the way the world says we should be that we're not even concerned about being like Jesus? Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He says, I want to be like Jesus. Yes, Paul knew Jesus was his Savior, right? And we know we're saved. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, we know we're saved. But do we want to truly know him and to be like him, right? Again, to really be like someone, you've got to know them. It's so funny. It doesn't happen this way in every marriage, but it's so funny when you see people that have been married for a long time, right? It's kind of like when you see one of them, it's like you see the other one, right? I mean, they've been together so long, they know their likes, they know their dislikes. It's like when you talk to one, it's like you're talking to the other one, right? When you talk to the guy, it's like you're talking to the lady. When you talk to the lady, it's like you're talking to the guy. I mean, they've just become so like each other. I mean, sometimes you look at them like, they even look like each other. Yeah, you ever noticed that before, right? I mean, normally people don't say that to a couple that's been married a year, okay? But people that have been married for a long time, they're like, they're just so cute. You know, I mean, they're just like each other. Well, I wonder why. Because they've got to know each other for 50 years or however long it's been, right? And this is what he's saying. If we truly want to be like Jesus, we have to desire to know him, not just in salvation, but to know him in every aspect of our life, to know him daily, to know him throughout everything that we do. Again, he says, look, I've lost all things, all these things that were so important to me before. He says, it doesn't matter. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to have that relationship with him, not just to be part of the family. I want to be like him. I want to be like him. And so he talks about knowing Jesus, having that knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he talks about, he says, I want to know the righteousness of God. Now again, we know that when a person gets saved, we receive God's righteousness, right? But you know, you understand that as a child of God, God wants us to live righteously. He wants us to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And another way that Peter tells us is about being holy. To live a holy life, to live a righteous life in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Yes, we are declared righteous when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. But are we living righteously? Look over in the book of Titus. Titus, just a couple, not too far over. Look in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Now watch what God is trying to teach us, right? Those of us who have put our faith in Christ, we've received God's grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. So he says, these are two things we're not supposed to do, right? We're not supposed to be following after ungodliness. We're not supposed to be following after worldly lusts. We're to deny those things, right? We're to deny ungodliness, deny worldly lusts. But notice what he says we should do. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now look, we all know, and I think we would all understand that one day Jesus Christ is going to return, praise the Lord, right? And he's going to take us to be with him. And the Bible tells us very clearly he's going to change this vile body and he's going to give us a new glorified body, right? We know that's going to happen. And we know once that happens, that glorified body is never going to have to worry about sin anymore. We're never going to have to worry about sickness. We're never going to have to worry about any of those things, okay? But notice that he says in this verse, he doesn't say we're waiting till we get that glorified body to live this way. notice what he says. He says that we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world, where we're at now, not the world to come, we're not gonna have to worry about it then because we're gonna have a glorified body. But he says, in this present world, this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to deny worldly lusts. I want you to deny ungodliness. And I want you to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Paul says, man, this is what I want to do. I want to know not just his righteousness in salvation, but I want to live in such a way that pleases and honors God. Because when you know Christ, and you draw closer to him, can I tell you this? The closer you know Jesus Christ, the more righteous you will live. The closer you get to him, the more holy you will live. It is when we get away from him that we live ungodly, that we follow the worldly lusts. But the closer we are to him, the more we can live soberly, righteously, and godly. And so Paul says, man, I want to conform to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to conform to his righteousness. And then when you go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. He said, I want to have a fellowship with Jesus. Now, it's one thing to sit down and you know, sit on a couch across from somebody or sit at a table and across from somebody and fellowship with them, right? That's a great thing. We enjoy doing that. But watch what he says here. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Paul says, I want to know Christ so much that even I have become so much like Jesus that it even causes suffering. I've become so much like Jesus in how I'm living my life that it may bring suffering and persecution and trials and difficulties in my life. Now, many Christians would say, hey, I'm glad I'm saved, and yes, I want to be like Jesus, but let's kind of leave out the suffering aspect of it, right? Let's leave out the trials. Let's leave out the difficulties, right? Let's just have the nice fellowship, you know, sitting across the table, you know, sitting on couches. We don't want the fellowship of sitting in jail. We don't want the fellowship of stocks. We don't want the fellowship of death, right? We want the nice, comfortable, easy fellowship. Well, here's the thing. The closer you are to Christ, the more you become like Jesus Christ. You know what that's going to do to the world? The world's going to hate you for it. The world's going to hate you. The more you become like Jesus Christ, the more the world is going to hate you. Because everything that Jesus stands for, the world hates. Everything that Jesus does that is right, the world is against. I mean, it's not that hard to see that in the society in which we live today. Now, just as the Bible says, good is now said to be evil, and evil is now said to be good. And the closer we are to Jesus Christ, and the more we are like him, it's going to cause suffering. Are we willing to become like Jesus enough that even we would be willing to be part of his sufferings? It's, you know, we're so afraid to give out a tract to somebody because somebody might cuss us out. Or we don't want to knock on somebody's door because they might slam the door in our face. Or we don't want to tell somebody at work about Jesus because they might get upset and you know, then we still have to work for him, and that's really uncomfortable, you know. I mean, we come up with all kinds of excuses. But yet he says, if we're coming to know Jesus, if we're getting more and more like Jesus, there will be times that we're gonna have to suffer. there are gonna be sufferings that we have to go through. Because the more like Jesus we are, again, we're talking righteous, godly, holy living. The world doesn't measure up to those things. So when you do that, the world gets upset. The world gets mad. And by the way, that's why the world is saying, look, we don't care if you're a Christian. Just don't be one of those Christians. We don't care if you go to church. Just don't be one of those godly Christians. We don't care if you have a Bible. Just don't be one of those righteous Christians. Don't talk about him at work, right? I mean, if you want to go to church and you want to sing, you want to talk about Jesus, that's fine. But leave it there. Don't bring it into the workplace, right? I mean, what is it that the two things that people say don't talk about? Politics and religion, right? Talk about sports. Talk about hunting. Talk about shopping. Talk about all those things, but don't talk about Jesus. And we have allowed the world to dictate how we live. We've allowed the world to do that. We've just gone right along with it. Well, they said we can't do it. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Do you remember when Jesus said, I didn't bring peace, I brought a sword. He said, I'm not here. It's when you follow me, guess what it's going to cause? It's going to cause division. When you follow me, even in a family, it can cause division. He says it can cause the parents and the children to be divided. It can cause the son-in-laws and the parents. I mean, he said it's going to cause all kinds of division. So why are we so afraid of following Jesus? Why are we so concerned about what the world says when Jesus says this is how he wants us to live? He says again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. But here's the last thing I want you to notice here, right? He says in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And again, I believe Paul understood that very soon, not in the far distant future, he's gonna be put to death. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Again, think about how many times he's talked about the things in the past, they're dung, they're loss, they're in the past, I'm forgetting those things, right? I mean, he's said this multiple times already. You think maybe he's trying to make a point, right? Remember, we've talked about how when God says something in Scripture once, I mean, that's enough. But when he repeats it and he repeats it, what is that? Anybody remember what we've kind of talked about? It's God's volume control, right? He's turning up the volume. Did you hear it? Turn it up a little bit. Did you hear it? I mean, he said this three times already. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, he says, I'm going to forget those things. Those things aren't important. But he says, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep going. It's just like that runner in a race, right? They know there's a finish line. They don't stop halfway through. They don't stop, you know, three quarters of the way through, they cross the finish line and then they stop. Paul said, I don't want to stop. I don't want anything to stop me. He says, I want to keep going. I'm going to keep going. I'm not concerned about those things that I've left behind. I'm not concerned about all the things that the world thinks are so important. I'm just going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep following Christ. I'm just going to try to keep getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to him until, think about it, one day I'm going to be with him. What's the prize? It's Jesus. He's the prize. And so Paul says, I'm just going to keep getting closer. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm not concerned with what's going on back there. I'm not concerned with what I gave up. I'm not concerned about being a Pharisee. I'm not concerned about the prestige. I'm not concerned about the position. I'm not concerned about all that. I'm just going to keep pressing forward. I want to be more like Jesus Christ today. I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to live righteously, godly, soberly. I'm going to do all these different things until one day I get the prize. Until one day. And again, I don't think it was too long after Paul writes this, not much longer, Paul got the prize. He woke up, and guess what he found? Jesus. Oh, he had already accepted Jesus back on the road to Damascus, but now he gets to be with Jesus in heaven. And so as Paul is writing this, he says, look, everything that I'm doing in my life is about getting closer to Jesus. Forget those things behind. I want to know him. I want to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to walk with him. Get in the Word of God. Find out who he is. Find out what he wants for you. To live the way he wants you to live. Again, you know, you have to answer that question. Are the things that were so important before you got saved, are those the very same things that are still the most important now? Or have you allowed God to change you, to be conformed to the image of his son? If we're not allowing God to change us, I can tell you this, we're not getting closer to him. If we're not allowing him to change us to live righteously and soberly and godly, we're not getting closer to him. We're not going to lose our salvation, but we're not allowing him to change us to be what he wants us to be. Maybe we're still consumed with all those things from the past. Hey, Paul says you have a new life in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is what he's talking about. Don't get so focused on the past and what the world says that we are conforming to the world instead of to Jesus. That's something each of us have to decide. We have to look at our own heart and say, am I being more conformed to what the world wants me to be, or am I being more conformed to what Jesus wants me to be? You say, well, how do I know which one is true? Well, what does Jesus want you to be? If this is what Jesus wants you to be and you're not being conformed to it, then guess which one you're being conformed to? The world. And we're allowing the world to dictate how we as Christians are living instead of allowing Jesus to dictate that the closer we draw to him. Right? Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to truly have that desire to follow you. Lord, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, to truly want to know you. Not just to be saved. And Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for what you've done in our lives to save us, because we could not save ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that the things before we got saved that were so important to us, maybe it's position, maybe it's prestige, maybe it's money, maybe it's all those things, should not be the most important things in our life now that we are saved. The most important thing in our life now ought to be you changing us to become more like Jesus, to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world so that we can be a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray you to help each one of us tonight. Lord, just to examine our heart. Lord, you knew this was going to happen tonight. I didn't. And Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight that really, they're just struggling with this evening. So Father, I pray you'd help them just to yield to you. Lord, help them to allow you to conform them to your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help each of us to want to draw closer and closer and closer and closer to you each and every day. until one day we will be with you in eternity. I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed for just a moment. Nobody's looking around. You don't need to stand up. But I'm going to ask the piano player just to play just softly for a moment. And maybe there is somebody tonight that God's speaking to your heart about something. Maybe you see you're being more conformed to the way the world is instead of the way Jesus is. Maybe you're allowing the world to dictate how you're to live your life instead of allowing Jesus to dictate how you're to live your life. So maybe tonight, maybe God's just speaking to your heart and you need to surrender to him. Say, Lord, I just want to follow you. I just want to live the way you want me to live in this present world. Doesn't mean you've got to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you've got to be a missionary, but Lord, just wherever I'm at, I just want to live in a way that people see Jesus in my life. Could be at the workplace, could be at home, in the grocery store, around family, whatever. I just want people to see Jesus. Help me with it, Lord. Father, we do pray that you'd help us with this. Lord, to truly desire to want you to conform us and to be more like Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to know you, to walk with you, to get in your word. Lord, just desire to be closer and closer to you each day. Lord, the things of the past, the things of the world, just help us, help those things not to be important to us, but just to keep our eyes upon you and just keep pressing toward that mark. Lord, one day we'll be with you for all of eternity. Lord, help us to live right here, now, the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.